Over the weekend, a 7-year-old girl was shot and killed in Chicago, a headline that got lost in a wave of pandemic news. In fact, it's been a particularly violent summer in Chicago. In June, 562 people in the city were shot. But the groups trying to keep the violence down say there are signs their efforts are working. Patrick Smith of member station WBEZ has this report.
On a Wednesday in mid-June, a group of about 8 guys were hanging out on a corner on Chicago's west side. They're talking, joking, drinking bottled water from a cooler on the sidewalk. 3 of them have gray shirts on with the word Peacekeeper on the back. Ed Harris, Cornell Graham, and Larice Nelson.
We all peacekeepers. We basically step in and stop any confrontation that we see could grow and be something bigger.
These guys are essentially the first rung on a violence prevention ladder the city is trying to build up. Harris, Graham, and Nelson are all from this neighborhood. Their lives and their bodies have all been torn by gun violence. All 3 of them have been shot in the last few years. Harris, well, he was walking up to his house that's just a few blocks away.
I was walking in the house, somebody just jumped out of the car shooting.
Were they aiming for you, you think?
Definitely. I got shot 13 times.
I don't want to dwell on your past, but would you say you guys were at one point kind of part of the problem out here or no?
I don't got no comment on that. I don't know. It's just how you gotta adapt. I don't know.
You say you have to kind of survive or get by over here. Is that like you had to carry a gun?
Nelson shakes his head. It's clear he doesn't want to answer that question on tape. Graham jumps in.
Because this situation, if you got shot and you scared, what would you think of doing? If you got to come outside, you can't stay in the house your whole life. I ain't saying carry a gun, no, I'm just saying, what would you think of doing? You got shot, you don't know who going to pull up shooting, you don't know what's going to happen. Sometimes you got to protect yourself.
Now, these 3 get paid a stipend, about $400 a week, to stand out here and try and keep the peace. Mostly, their job is to keep the guys they know, the guys they hang out with, from shooting.
Only can stop our people from doing stuff. We can't stop the next people from doing nothing.
It's a small goal, but the people behind it say it's a necessary first step to build real, lasting peace. And they say it's already helped prevent this terrible summer from being even worse. An example. A few weeks ago, some young guys from another neighborhood came through the intersection throwing up gang signs. It's the sort of thing that can prompt a shooting. This time, it led to a phone call and an apology.
Yeah, they came and they were just being disrespectful, basically somewhere they weren't supposed to be. Somebody could have followed them down or wherever they was from, and you know what I'm saying? But instead, we called our outreach workers and told them, like, man, tell them it's been peaceful, keep it peaceful. And they called them and they called and apologized and they talked to their people. That never happened again.
A conversation first before shots get fired is exactly what we need to happen.
Jalen Arthur with the violence prevention group Chicago CRED says that incident is exactly how his program was designed to work. Peacekeepers with close ties to rival gangs holding their own people down.
Now they have what they see as opposition coming into the area. They could easily just start shooting and whatever, you know what I mean? But instead, because of the way we have it set up, there's a line of communication.
Harris, Graham, and Nelson are part of a program focused on so-called violence hotspots around Chicago. There are 75 corners around the city where CRED is paying people to stand out and keep the peace. It's called the FLIP program, and Arthur is its architect. He says the goal is to start by getting rival factions on defense. He's not even talking about convincing groups to put the guns down, just trying to get them to stay on their own turf.
The thing is, though, we already know it's a lot of loss on all sides of the equation. It's hard for a lot of people to shake those losses. And so the reality is, it's not like everything's just going to stop instantly overnight. We got communities and hotspots that haven't gone a day or a week without a shooting. You go a week without a shooting, we can go 2 weeks. We go 2 weeks, we can go 3 weeks. We go 3 weeks, we can go a month.
Summer in Chicago has been unusually violent, even for a city that averages around 500 murders a year. One weekend in the middle of June, more than 100 people were shot throughout Chicago, 13 of them killed. Jalen Arthur sent me a map of the shootings from that weekend.
Oh, here we go. I'm looking at it now.
Okay. So let me show you something real quick. We just had this super violent weekend.
The map shows most of the violence happened away from the hotspots where the peacekeepers were working. It's not exactly a scientific study, but it gives Arthur some hope. He says they are meeting with their street outreach teams, trying to find ways to expand their presence. But without more resources, Arthur says, that's a difficult task. On the Thursday after that horribly violent weekend, anti-violence worker Chris Patterson is talking with a woman whose son was one of the 100 people shot in that two-day period. He's in the hospital now, she says, and there's still a possibility he could end up paralyzed. If he recovers, she says she'll have a dilemma. Her son will find out who shot him. Patterson is urging her to seek peace, but she tells him that she may want her son to seek vengeance. She's angry, and Patterson can't convince her to give up the idea of revenge before she leaves to catch a ride home. Patterson says he understands where she's coming from.
Once violence affects you, you can't forget it, right? And so now violence becomes an option.
It was a delicate balance for Patterson, trying to empathize with her grief and anger while trying to talk her down.
You know, a part of her conversation was like, yeah, part of me wants to seek retaliation, but the other part of me doesn't want to lose everything that we've gotten. I don't want to lose my son. I don't want to lose my daughter. These are coming at some of the things she was saying. And that's natural. That's normal. Like when people lose people who are close to them, an array of feelings may arise, right? It could be people who are caught in the cycle of violence. Violence makes sense for them. That's the way they answer their problems.
It reminds me of something Graham, Nelson, and Harris told me. People call the violence senseless, but often there's real reasons behind it, they say. Vengeance. Righteous anger. After I talk with Patterson, I drive to the corner where the guys are stationed. They are not up for talking. They, too, were directly affected by the rash of violence over that previous weekend. One of their friends was killed. Obviously, they are grieving. But there's something else. There's a tension in the air, or at least I imagine there is. Patterson explained to me that with the killing of another friend, Graham and Nelson and Harris and everyone else out here is back to being hyper-vigilant, heads on a swivel, constantly looking out for the danger coming around the corner. It's trauma, happening right now, to these guys who are supposed to help keep the peace. For Here and Now, I'm Patrick Smith.